can handle the truth.
Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking today to cover a series of news stories, as well as to re-examine yesterday's appearance by Dr. Jerome Corsi on this show. Dr. Corsi, of course, writes for WorldNet Daily, Joseph Faro's outlet. He writes for Thomas S. Winter's Human Events, and also posts with newswithviews.com. Jerome Corsi's appearance on the show yesterday will soon be on the front page of Breaking All the Rules News, BATR News, complete with clickable links to some of his most recent articles. He had a number of very fine things to say yesterday on this show related to illegal immigration and also to something called National Security Presidential Directive 51, also entitled Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. Folks, we need to know what is in that executive order of May 9th. It's further indication that we are moving in the direction of a police state. In conjunction with Mr. Bush's circumvention of the Constitution in regard to not having a congressionally sanctioned declaration of war for what he has done in Iraq, Mr. Bush, of course, has also been involved in these illegal activities related to warrantless electronic surveillance with the National Security Agency. Mr. Gonzalez, presumably, is trying not simply to avoid losing his job, but to avoid going to prison. When he tells the United States Senate on 67 separate occasions, according to the London Financial Times in recent testimony, that Mr. Gonzalez cannot recall what he and Andrew Card, the White House Chief of Staff, did repeatedly in regard to trying to put this whole program of warrantless electronic surveillance into motion directed against American citizens. The Attorney General of the United States says that he can't recall. I suspect that the reason he can't recall is that he wants to be able to protect his boss, who would undoubtedly tell us that he couldn't recall in regard to what was going on with circumventing the FISA legislation, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which quite clearly makes these kinds of operations reviewable by law on a mandatory basis by this secret federal court. That's at least an attempt on the part of the Congress and on the part of the judicial branch of the government to keep us from evolving into a full-blown police state. Mr. Bush is saying that the FISA laws don't apply to him. He, of course, in this National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20, is saying that the National Emergency Act, which is current federal law passed by the Congress, does not apply to him either. Mr. Bush gets to determine when there's a national emergency in this country. He gets to define what it is. He gets to usurp any power that he wants during the emergency. He gets to define how long the emergency continues. Boy, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? That one man has all of those powers in addition to being able to commit this country to a foreign war without the declaration of war constitutionally by the Congress that is required according to Article 1, Section 8. Mr. Bush says that he can break into any home or business that he wants to, or tap anybody's phone that he wants to, read anybody's email that he wants to, simply because, in his judgment, it's a good idea that he doesn't have to obey the FISA laws. This is a dangerous new era that we are moving ourselves into, folks. And these folks that vote Republican, who say that we should trust Mr. Bush with all of these powers, we'd only have to worry, folks, if a Democratic president is doing these things, right? This, of course, is complete garbage. It's complete nonsense intellectually, legally, constitutionally, and morally. It's absolutely dangerous. When we come back, we'll look at Larry Chin's take on National Security Presidential Directive 51. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're looking at a series of news stories today. If you are interested in international storm clouds, take a look at the front page of today's Washington Post. It's not only available, of course, in print form, but you can get it online as well by going to WashingtonPost.com. Look at Karen DeYoung's front page piece entitled Iranian Defiance of UN Detailed. Of course, this is setting the stage for what clearly would seem to be an American and or Israeli intervention against Iran militarily. It dovetails quite nicely, or I should say quite ominously, with what the Kavkaz Center of Chechnya is reporting today at KavkazCenter.com, where the U.S. Navy has a whole new show of force taking place off the coast of Iran. Those things, it seems to me, dovetail again very darkly with what is happening ongoingly in both Gaza and the West Bank. Israel is ongoingly involved in the shooting contest with Hamas. It seems to me that there's no movement toward any sort of a settlement there whatsoever. You can take your pick as to who you believe is the basic party that is in the wrong in that situation. And of course, Lebanon continues to be an issue in regard to the ongoing violence there. So nothing positive is happening in Palestine. Nothing is happening on a positive basis when it comes to southern Lebanon. I don't know for those of you who watch establishment news, and I do watch it and I do read it just to know what they're saying. I was listening to an interview on the BBC a night or two ago with King Abdullah of Jordan, and he was talking about how alarming the situation in the Middle East is becoming. He was speaking of the need for passions to be cooled off and for negotiations to resume before there's a major tragedy. It seems to me that the answer is very clear. There have to be certain things that are done on behalf of the Palestinians in this Middle Eastern crisis, or it's simply going to continue. That's number one. And I think when it comes to minimalist demands, where the Palestinians would be able to or would be willing to settle for only 22% of the original piece of property that was theirs at the onset of 1947, that to me is being quite reasonable. And at least a certain wing of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Dr. Nabil Abu Znaid, was talking about this on this show some weeks ago. He, of course, is a deputy director of mission for the PLO up in Washington. He said that they'd settle for that 22%, even though the UN partition gave them 49%. He said, we'll settle for the 22, along with East Jerusalem as the capital of an independent Palestinian state. Folks, if that truly is their position, or the position of the most mainstream portion of the Palestinian national movement, and their official spokesman in Washington, D.C., said that publicly on this show for public consumption, if that's their position, and I believe that it is, why can we not get a settlement? The Israelis believe and say, of course, that it's all because of the recalcitrance of the Palestinians. I don't believe that, and of course that's going to be an ongoing debate in the days ahead as we go through the presidential election season. But between what is on the front page of the Washington Post today as it relates to things Iranian and as it relates to things related to the Iranian nuclear power program, Karen DeYoung's front page article for the Washington Post makes me extremely nervous in conjunction with what the Kavkaz Center of Chechnya now indicates is a whole new upgraded show of force on the part of the United States Navy off the coast of Iran. And then, of course, there's this age-old question since 1946 of what we are going to do about the Palestinians. It seems to me that there is absolutely no indication on the part of Israel that it's willing to allow an independent Palestinian state on just 22% of the total land of the area, when even the UN partition, which arguably robbed the Palestinians of 51% of their land when it gave them 49%, the Palestinians now say they'll take 22% of that total. They've gone from 100% to 22%. They're willing to settle for 22% along with East Jerusalem, and that's somehow deemed to be unreasonable. Come on, folks. I think that these pro-Israel politicians in the United States and both of the major parties, and to the extent to which that view is also reflected by some in the Constitution Party, need to wake up and smell the coffee. This is a serious problem, and it's not going to go away. And as you see all of this burgeoning in regard to what clearly is a move toward a much wider war in the Middle East, we come back again to Larry Chin's piece today at globalresearch.ca. New presidential directive gives Mr. Bush dictatorial power. The National Security and Homeland Security presidential directive establishes a national continuity policy. Chin goes on to say that the National Security and Homeland Security presidential directive signed on May 9th declares that in the event of a catastrophic event, quote unquote, George W. Bush can become what is best described as a dictator. Quote, the president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government, unquote. Let's examine that statement for a minute. Ensuring constitutional government. Mr. Bush is going to lead the activities of the federal government in ensuring constitutional government. That's according to National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. Mr. Bush, in the last 6 or 7 years, it seems to me, has been ensuring that constitutional government in this country ceased to exist. He circumvented FISA. He has circumvented the constitutional prerogatives that are vested in the Congress for declaring war against a foreign nation. He has gone along with the falsification of intelligence which has resulted in a phony rationale for this invasion of Iraq. Mr. Bush has provably been involved in activities in conjunction with his so-called Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, which have been involved in conducting illegal surveillance operations of American citizens that have not had the review of our courts, that have not involved court warrants, that have not even involved a backhanded glance at the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Activities Court. This same president, of course, has been more than happy to utilize United States Patriot Acts 1 and 2 to ensure that we could have warrantless surveillance and break-in black bag jobs in any home or business in America without court warrants if the president decides that it's necessary. We have a circumstance, according to at least one rather misguided federal judge in Chicago, talking about the Jose Padilla case, where Mr. Bush and the Pentagon can declare any American citizen they want to be an unlawful enemy combatant. In that definition, they can then suspend the writ of habeas corpus, denying to that American citizen the right to a speedy trial, the right to definitive charges, the right to a lawyer, and so forth and so on. They can ensconce such an individual in an indefinite federal detention. Don't believe me? Look at the Dr. Sami Al-Aryan case. And folks are going to say, well, but he's a Palestinian-American. This, folks, does not make any difference. He is entitled to constitutional protections. He is entitled to being convicted of something in a court before he's thrown in the pen. Those are the same guarantees that you and I are entitled to. Mr. Bush is in the process of destroying all of that. So here is this statement again from the National Security Presidential Directive 51, coming from the pen of the president himself. The president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government. Cut me a break, Mr. Bush. You've been destroying the Constitution of this country since you entered office, and a Congress has completely acquiesced in this. Larry Chin at globalresearch.ca then goes on to observe what I just said. This directive, completely unnoticed by the media, unnoticed, deliberately or otherwise. Chin doesn't tell us whether or not he believes that the media's unnoticing of this presidential executive order is deliberate or not, but he observes that it's been completely unnoticed by the media and given no scrutiny by Congress, literally gives the White House unprecedented dictatorial power over the government and the country, bypassing the U.S. Congress and obliterating the separation of powers. The directive also placed the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mr. Israeli intelligence agent Michael Chertoff, those are my words, not those of Mr. Chin, but it places Mr. Chertoff in charge of domestic security, quote unquote. Here's the full text, followed by a critical analysis on the directive, okay? So let's take a look at the full text and then look as well at the critical analysis that's provided by Lee Rogers. Maybe we ought to go directly to the critical analysis. Well, I tell you what, we'll start with the actual text of the directive itself, just that we can satisfy the listeners and satisfy those interested in journalistic integrity that we have looked at the original text before we have gone to the commentary based upon the text. So let's get back to what Mr. Chin has reprinted for us at Global Research as it pertains to National Security Presidential Directive 51. Here it is. This is Mr. Bush talking. Subject, National Continuity Policy. Purpose, number one, this directive establishes a comprehensive national policy on the continuity of federal government structures and operations and a single national continuity coordinator responsible for coordinating the development and implementation of federal continuity policies. This policy establishes, quote, national essential functions, unquote, prescribes continuity requirements for all executive departments and agencies, and provides guidance for state, local, territorial, and tribal governments and private sector organizations. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for a further conversation about National Security Presidential Directive 51. We'll be back.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit Core Documents. Now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Mark Anfaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to mention that tomorrow, of course, Mark Glenn is going to join me, as usual, most of the time anyway, on this show. Mark's going to be talking about his latest work at Crescent and Cross and also at the American Free Press. He will be with me in the last hour of tomorrow's show, which will go from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. We're going to be chatting about a series of things. I want to ask Mark about his own perceptions of Dr. Jerome Corsi's remarks yesterday as it relates to foreign policy. Again, I can't hit this hard enough because I think it's an ongoing conflict within the Constitution Party. Maybe not as obvious to some as to others, but there's a fundamental philosophical and ideological inconsistency here that I believe is going to have to be addressed by that party as it attempts to present a face which is constitutional and America first. I don't see how we can do that and continue to hold on to any of the presuppositions of the Zionist-oriented neoconservative foreign policy. And that is, I think, what is at issue here. And in Dr. Corsi's remarks about the Giuliani-Paul exchange, it seems to me that that's not going to go away. Dr. Corsi seems to be very critical of Ron Paul in that area. I think that that is suggestive of something that's going to have to be revisited within the Constitution Party as it relates to Israel and to foreign policy. So we'll keep an eye on that one. One other thing I wanted to mention about the Corsi appearance yesterday, just as it occurs to me now, did you notice how he did honestly tell us, and I think he is an honest man, however much I disagree with him on foreign policy, Dr. Corsi did honestly say that he voted for George W. Bush twice, both in 2000 and in 2004. I don't want to say I told you so, but I'm proud of the fact that I did not vote for Mr. Bush in either of his presidential runs. Of course, I did vote for him, I will admit, when I was down here in Texas in 1994. I voted for him when he ran against Ann Richards for governor of Texas. Did so on the basis of the gun issue, if no other issue. And so I voted for Mr. Bush that time, did not vote for him, however, in either of his presidential runs. And I'm glad for that, because now that's looking like an absolutely great decision. And when we look at this whole issue of George Bush, I want to emphasize that for conservatives like Dr. Jerome Corsi, who have been understandably duped by the president in the past and understandably duped by the Republican establishment up to this point, it is now time to take definitive and clear action. There has to be, in my judgment, a complete America First populist break with the Republican Party. In order for real conservatism and real populism to have any ghost of a chance to even come to the political table again, I think Howard Phillips is absolutely correct that the Republican Party needs to be destroyed. But I don't think that the Constitution Party can be the vehicle for destroying the Republican Party and recovering the Republic unless they get things straightened away on this foreign policy issue as it relates to Zionism and Israel. And when Mark Glenn comes on tomorrow, we want to chat with him about that specifically. Let's then get back to this whole business of National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. If you look at Larry Chin's piece in this for globalresearch.ca, or if you look at what Jerome Corsi has said about it at WorldNet Daily, in both instances they provided a nice link to the original complete text of this presidential executive order that's right on the White House's own site. So this is where this comes from, folks. These are the words of the President of the United States speaking here. It's on his own website at whitehouse.gov. And so when Larry Chin is quoting from it, or when Jerome Corsi is quoting from it, they're not making up any of this stuff. It's all there. It's all there in the text. We are then left to try, in with the help of Dr. Corsi and with the help of Larry Chin, to discern its ultimate meaning. Let's take a look at it. What is a catastrophic emergency? If you look at the definitions to be found in National Security Presidential Directive 51, catastrophic emergency is defined as follows. It means any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption, severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions. Any incident, regardless of location, and extraordinary levels of these things that are mentioned here. It's very vague, isn't it? I suppose that virtually any event whatsoever could be defined as an incident anywhere in the country that has resulted in extraordinary levels in these categories. You could have, it seems to me, one individual acting alone who would shoot up a schoolyard. And if he happened to have an Islamic name or happened to originally come from a place like Iran or Saudi Arabia, he could have no connection to those state governments whatsoever, and yet that event could be used to invoke the catastrophic emergency powers of National Security Presidential Directive 51. Can you see it coming? This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The trick is to ride, make it to the best.
good to be back with you again. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were taking a look in the last part of the show this morning about this whole issue of National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20, again, with reference both to what Jerome Corsi has said about it at WorldNet Daily, as well as what Larry Chin tells us today at globalresearch.ca. Chin provides for us a very invaluable service in that he prints the complete text of this executive order issued by Mr. Bush on May the 9th. And as I was saying earlier, if you look at this in conjunction with what Mr. Bush has already done in circumventing FISA, circumventing the constitutional requirement for a congressional declaration of war prior to going into Iraq, all of the things that have now come out in regard to the activities of Mr. Bush's attorney general and his chief of staff, former chief of staff, Andrew Card, when it comes to getting all of this illegal electronic surveillance approved and directed by the National Security Agency, it becomes abundantly clear that this May 9th executive order is absolutely ominous in its implications, because with everything going on right now in Iran and in Palestine, it doesn't take a real genius to figure out that one small incident, either over there or here, is going to be utilized as a pretext for the president to utilize National Security Presidential Directive 51 to say that we have a catastrophic emergency, quote-unquote, on our hands. A catastrophic emergency on our hands. That will then lead, according to Mr. Bush's own definitions in his own order, to a so-called continuity of government, or COG declaration, continuity of government. It means, according to the president, that there will be a coordinated effort within the federal government's executive branch to ensure that national essential functions continue to be performed during a catastrophic emergency. There's also a definition here of continuity of operations, or COOP. Continuity of operations, which is designed to ensure that within individual executive departments and agencies, that primary mission essential functions, quote unquote, continue to be performed during a wide range of emergencies, including localized acts of nature, accidents, and technological or attack related emergencies. So, with just what we've read that far, it's clear, first of all, that in regard to the definition of catastrophic emergency, that Mr. Bush can declare one anytime that he wants to. And if you go back again and look at the piece that Jerome Corsi has already authored for WorldNet Daily, it becomes abundantly clear that this legislation, or I should say this executive order on the part of Mr. Bush, is absolutely unnecessary. Why is it absolutely unnecessary? Because we have in law right now a law entitled the National Emergency Act, okay, that provides for certain things to happen in the event of a national emergency or national crisis. And the president can declare one. He can declare one. But that proclamation then has to be immediately transmitted to the Congress and published in the Federal Register. There are also provisions in the National Emergency Act that set Congress up as a balance to modify, rescind, or render dormant, quote-unquote, such emergency authority if Congress believes the president has acted inappropriately. All of that is conveniently missing from National Security Presidential Directive 51. So when we look at what is said there in the text of that executive order of May 9th and compare it to the National Emergency Act, it is absolutely clear that something is going on here. Something is going on here that is very, very ominous, and it's something that the White House doesn't want to talk about. Corsi indicated yesterday, and it's also mentioned in his WorldNet daily piece on the subject, that the White House has failed to respond to repeated inquiries coming, in this case, presumably from Corsi and from WorldNet Daily, in regard to the rationale for this presidential directive of May 9th. In regard to its harmony or lack of harmony with this National Emergency Act. Very interesting that the president is taking this particular time to avoid talking about this, at the same time that it appears that conditions are ripe for the declaration of a national emergency on the part of the president, whether in fact there's a legitimate reason for one or not. Then we get into this whole business of enduring constitutional government. Enduring constitutional government. What does that mean? Quoting Mr. Bush here, it means a cooperative effort among the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the federal government coordinated by the president. Put that one in your minds. Coordinated by the president as a matter of comity with respect to the legislative and judicial branches and with proper respect for the constitutional separation of powers among the branches to preserve the constitutional framework under which the nation is governed and the capability of all three branches of government to execute constitutional responsibilities and provide for orderly succession, appropriate transition of leadership, and interoperability in support of the national essential functions during a catastrophic emergency. Now, keep in mind, of course, that we have a situation here where there's something going on, and it's going on in conjunction with two other people, okay? On the one hand, we have the president. Mr. Bush, by putting himself in charge of coordinating these efforts to ensure constitutional government, is in effective fashion placing himself over the executive branch or over the legislative branch and judicial branches of our government in a way that ensures that he will have dictatorial powers. Does his directive of May 9th indicate that he believes that he can direct Congress to do whatever he tells them to do? Does it mean that Mr. Bush can direct the judicial branch of the government to do whatever he tells them to do? Does this mean, in effect, that the presidency of the United States and the executive branch of the federal government usurp all of the powers and the prerogatives of the legislative and judicial branches of government, that they become mere extensions of the power and authority and expression of the president? I think, according to some of these analysts, including Larry Chin and Jerome Corsi and Lee Rogers, that's exactly what it means. That's exactly what Mr. Bush is saying is his prerogative in this matter, according to this directive of May 9th. Again, the guy has ignored the Constitution with warrantless surveillance. He has ignored the Constitution by surrendering and destroying the writ of habeas corpus. He has destroyed the Constitution by getting us involved in a foreign war without a declaration of war on the part of the Congress. So is it surprising that he would now say that he can declare a national emergency anytime he wants to, for virtually any reason, that he gets to define what a catastrophic emergency is, he gets to define how long that state of emergency continues, he gets to set himself above the Congress and above the courts at any juncture in this entire process. That, I think, is a fair reading of National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. When you look at this this incredible proclamation by the president, it's not as incredible that he has said such outlandish things, but that the Congress continues to acquiesce in this and that the media is absolutely silent. You know, this whole business about the media being an agent for accountability in this country, the media has become, the corporate media has become the lapdog of corporate America. Mr. Bush is a representative of corporate America. He does what corporate America tells him to do and wants him to do, and it's a very nice arrangement. When you look at the relationship between the president and multinational corporations and a news media that is owned by multinational corporate conglomerates, you can see the symbiotic relationship between these three entities, and it's at your expense and mine. But now, of course, George Bush is indicating, according to this directive of May 9th, that he can become a complete one-man dictator in this country, and the courts and the Congress of this country have absolutely no say in the matter whatsoever. Let's take a look at the next aspect of this. This directive states that the Director of Homeland Security will serve as the lead for coordinating overall continuity operations. That's Mr. Chertoff, by the way. The Secretary of Homeland Security will serve as the lead for coordinating overall continuity operations. Now, isn't it interesting that Mr. Chertoff's mother was a member of the Israeli Mossad? Mr. Chertoff himself is a dual citizen. He is not only a citizen of the United States, he historically has been a citizen of the nation of Israel. Isn't it curious that a person serving as the lead in coordinating overall continuity operations in the event of a catastrophic event in the history of this country would have this kind of a background? Lee Rogers, I think, puts it well. He says, we already know that the Homeland Security Department is not really working to secure the homeland. Instead, the Homeland Security Department is really working to enslave the homeland. To enslave the homeland. Just like the Home Office over in the United Kingdom has made that country an Orwellian hell of closed-circuit TV spy cameras. If such an emergency is declared, we can only guess what sort of surprises the Homeland Enslavement Department will have for us. Mr. Rogers doesn't say this, but I have my ideas as to what could be involved, certainly in the particular portions of this package. It doesn't take much imagination at all, does it? Particularly when you think of the Sami al-Aryan case, where he continues to languish in a federal prison in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, in spite of the fact that he has not been convicted of a single thing in an American court. The writ of habeas corpus has been suspended where Sami al-Aryan is concerned. We're in a circumstance where the president indicates that he should be able to do that with any other American citizen that he thinks is somehow a threat to the national security of the country, as he defines that. As he defines that, okay? And as you look at this entire matrix, this entire kaleidoscope of circumstances and events that has resulted in what has happened now on May the 9th, he is handing the keys to the kingdom.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories today related to illegal immigration and to Dr. Jerome Corsi's appearance on the show yesterday. He said a series of things about foreign policy that I want to examine in greater detail tomorrow when Mark Glenn of the American Free Press joins me between 9 and 10 o'clock Central Time. We've also been talking today about something that Dr. Corsi made reference to on this show yesterday and also in print for the WorldNet Daily. What is National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20? Basically, as of May 9th, Mr. Bush is indicating that he can declare a national emergency for any reason that he cares to and can usurp all of the powers that used to be separated between the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of government. He is going to give Mr. Chertoff, the Director of Homeland Security, the responsibility for all of the security operations in regard to his so-called continuity of government proposal. The executive order also says the assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, Colonel Francis Fragos Townsend, would be designated as the National Continuity Coordinator. One thing that's a little unclear to me here, and I'd like to see it thrashed out by those who understand more about this executive order than I do, what the relationship of the chain of command will be for between Mr. Chertoff and Francis Fragos Townsend, the so-called assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism. That will be interesting to see how that plays. Suffice it to say that what we clearly have here is a circumstance with the definition of a national emergency, the declaration of a national emergency without consulting Congress, the definition of the duration for the national emergency, and all of the activities related to said emergency will emanate directly from the president, will not involve the Congress at all. This quite clearly is a violation of federal law, as that has been known up to this point in the so-called National Emergency Act. By the way, I've discovered something online. The Cornell Law School has a link to this National Emergency Act. I may try to get this posted later, Breaking All the Rules News. So we can compare what is currently in federal law to what Mr. Bush has said in his executive order of May 9th entitled National Security Presidential Directive 51 or Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. When you see the difference between what is in law, according to what has passed the Congress, and what Mr. Bush has said of May 9th, it becomes particularly clear that this is a part of a pattern, and this is a pattern that will not go away. It's not simply a question of the fact that Mr. Bush is true to his word. If he truly believes that the Constitution of the United States is a quote-unquote GD piece of paper, then it would make all the sense in the world that he would do things that would continue to act out on that belief. He's done it in circumventing FISA. He's done it in terms of circumventing the Constitution and Declaration of War powers that are the prerogative of the Congress. He's done it with illegal, warrantless surveillance of citizens. He's done it with a suspension of the writ of habeas corpus. So if he's acted out on this in all of these areas, it's clear that he's going to do this. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join me tomorrow on this show. We're going to examine all the features of the week, as well as the implications of the exchange between Rudolph Giuliani and Ron Paul. And Mark will offer his predictions as to where he thinks. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I will see you tomorrow at 7 a.m. sharp Central Time. God bless.